very warm welcome to our joint parishes worship for today in the season of Lent. Before we begin our worship, wherever you happen to be as you're listening to this, please know of a very warm welcome as you join us all. First of all, we're going to hear what's happening in Kemeny, so it's over to Joshua.
Thank you, Sheila, and hello, everybody. Just a few pieces of information to share about Kemeny. We'll continue with our Sunday morning worship at 10 a.m. in the church. We're continuing our focus on the book of James. At 10:30, children are very welcome to be excused to go over to the church center for Sunday school activities, and children of all ages from 3 to 93 and above are welcome to join for that as well. Monday evenings on Teams, we continue to have our weekly Bible study. If you'd like to join and be a part of that fellowship, please let me know and we'll make sure that happens. And Fridays, we also are continuing with our sessions of Little Lambs of Kemeny, which is a play and music group for children, toddlers, and parents. So come along to that if you'd like at the church center on Fridays. And the information for that can be found on Facebook on Little Lambs of Kemeny. Well, that's the news from Kemeny. I now pass it over to my friend, Ewan. Hello, Ewan.
Hello, Joshua, and hello, folks. I hope you can hear me. I've been having a wee bit of problems with my microphone. So if I'm shouting at you, I apologize. But if not, you can at least hear me. Just a couple of things, really, for us. Next Sunday, we'll be having a digital service in Monymusk Church because I'm across at Blair Daff Chapel of Geary leading worship, and I'm looking forward to my return trip to the parish up the hill. And because of that, as I say, the service will be an entirely digital one using the joint service that we'll be preparing next week together with a wee bit of topping and tailing to the service. During the week, we will have our mainly music group on Tuesday, and it's always lovely to go and visit because they have cake. And after the activities, there's always a time of fellowship and the children get some healthy food and the adults get cake. So you can imagine I spend more time with the adults than the children, mainly music, but it's great fun. We'll also be continuing our midweek online service on Wednesdays as we go through Lent. But I think that's all the information from Cluny and Monymusk just now. So we hand you over to Stella from Blair Daff Chapel of Geary.
Hello and good morning to all. We're having our digital service this week, although we'll try and personalise quite a few of those bits and look forward to welcoming you in Chapel of Geary next week. And we're in Blair Daff today as you're listening to this. Just not in a lot of church news from the Kirk. We're looking forward to joining in some of the activities from the other churches. But spring is definitely sprung because I was on my way up to Blair Daff the other day and there were peewits going, or peasy weeps as we call them. So they've returned from wherever they've been. So it just feels like we've definitely got spring on the go. And now over to Tozi.
Thank you. In a kindle, next week, we are going to have Holy Communion on the 27th of this month. For the rest of announcements, I will hand over to Nim.
Thank you, Tose. Yes, in addition to Communion next Sunday, there's also the evening services. during the season of Lent, we're doing a series from World Vision called Living Waters. And those take place every Sunday evening at 7 p.m. in the church. And then also just to say that this coming Friday, that's the 25th, we'll be hosting the last of our drop-ins. The drop-in center is closing and we're going to go out with a bit of a bang. We'll also be having a big brew. So if you'd like to come and have a cuppa at the big brew, that's at between 9:30 and 11 o'clock on Friday morning. And we look forward to seeing many of you there. And over to Sheila in Echt and Midmar.
Thank you, Neil. Just a very quick couple of intimations. One, to say that the church is continuing to support the Disasters Emergency Committee Appeal for Ukraine, and we're receiving donations in the plate on Sunday. So we have envelopes marked DEC for people that wish to donate, or people are welcome to put an offering into the open plate And as we look forward to a reduction in the restrictions around COVID, our events committee and social committee has been meeting and planning events for the rest of this year, things that will happen monthly to bring members of the congregation and wider community together. There'll be more information very shortly to follow on that. But for now, we hope very much that you enjoy your time with us today, because you are most welcome as you join us in worship. This is the day that the Lord has made. Together, let us rejoice and be glad in it. We gather in worship today because God has sought us and found us. We come as we are, knowing that God has prepared a place for us. We bring what we have, ready to receive what God will offer to us. Bread of life for the world, grow your kingdom within each and every one of us here. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we hear your call and we come gladly to this time of worship. In these few minutes together, speak to each one of us according to our need, that we can find something of hope, comfort, and reassurance as we gather in your presence. We worship you, Holy God, you who set the stars in space and who breathed life into creation. You who fashioned human beings in your own image. You who bears us up as on eagle's wings. You who holds us in the palm of your hand. We worship you and we bow before you as we bring you our gifts of praise and worship. In these times, we're especially mindful of how difficult life can be, of how challenging and fearful and uncertain life can seem. So we bring our humble prayers for forgiveness on behalf of the world, seeking God's forgiveness for the greed, suspicion, prejudice, abuse of power, the things that can so easily destroy lives and communities and nations and countries. And we pray forgiveness for ourselves, and not always because of what we've done, but sometimes because of what we may have failed to do. Those times we've been willfully blind to the need around us. Those times when indifference has blunted our response to what's been happening to others. Those times when our attention has been distracted by the things that don't matter, things that aren't a priority. The times when our own perspective hasn't been wide enough to fully appreciate the plight of others. God of all eternity, and God of this very moment, in this worship, may we sense your voice calling, reaching out to each and every one of us. We bring to mind Jesus' words and his offer of forgiveness. Take heart, he said, for your sins are forgiven. And we do take heart, for those words are also offered to us. And in accepting forgiveness, we allow ourselves to be changed and transformed and shaped by the love of God. Whatever our situation, and wherever we are in life and in the journey of faith, help us always to rejoice in your love and to celebrate the gift of forgiveness. For this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our
Hear now God's word. I read to you from the Old Testament, from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 55, in the first 9 verses. Let's hear God speak to us in his most holy word. Come, all of you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and what you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I've made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Amen. And thanks be to God for his most holy word.
When I was studying to be an accountant, the textbook was Samuelson's Economics. Well, I say textbook. It was much more of a doorstop, really. Great big thick yellow thing, as I recall. And the trouble with Samuelson's Economics was that every couple of years you had to rebuy the book in a new edition because economic theory changes all the time. But having said that, there are certain economic principles that haven't changed, not from Samuel's first edition back in 1948, even up to his latest edition, which I can't remember if it's 27 or 28th edition that it's in by now. The one principle that has not changed is there ain't no such thing as a free lunch. There ain't no such thing as a free lunch. And when Samuelson and other economists are writing about this, they not just the principle holds true not just when it comes to money, but in all sorts of ways. Any girl who's ever been taken out for dinner by a guy knows this principle. Any businessman or businesswoman who's ever been wined and dined by a client or a supplier knows this principle. Any politician who's ever been wined and dined by a Russian oligarch understands the principle. It doesn't matter who physically pays the bill. There are no free lunches. Not for any of us. The question is whether this is also a biblical principle. And I would say that many think it is so. People outside the church often look at the church and would say, well, what does the church want from us? If we go to the church for a blessing, for our child or our wedding or something like that, what do we have to do in exchange? What do we have to give? What is the quid pro quo? And sadly, even within the church, a lot of us good Christian people see our relationship with God as a give and take, a payment and reward system. I once had an elder who in my church in Johannesburg, who didn't come to church for a while. I went around to see him to see if he was okay. I said, "Are you okay?" He said he'd lost his job. And I said, "Well, does that make it hard for you to come to church? Can we organize transport for you?" He said, "No, I can't come to church because I don't have money to pay my weekly tithe." So I said to him, "So you're telling me that in the moment when you need the church community more than any other time you've ever needed it, you're staying away simply because you feel you have to pay to earn our care and support?" I said to him, put away your wallet. You're coming to church. But the thing is that this is so deep-seated, it runs deep in the ancient history of religions, not just Christianity. It's the whole ancient idea of sacrifice for a god. Our concept was that the bigger the sacrifice we could make for the god, the bigger the blessing we could earn or grab from the god. Some would sacrifice wheat, but we thought, well, no, we can do better than that. Let's sacrifice something with blood in it. And so animal sacrifices were made. And somebody said, well, what's bigger than sacrificing an animal? Let's sacrifice a human being. And eventually some ancient religions came to the point of sacrificing their firstborn child, that thing which was most precious to them, to get the greatest reward from God. And this got translated in Christianity into the idea that we need to earn our way into God's good graces, that we need to have good behavior before we could get any care or love from God or God's people. In his book, What's So Amazing About Grace, Philip Yancey talks about, relates a story from a friend about a prostitute who came to see him. I'll read you the story. A prostitute came to me in wretched straits, homeless, sick, unable to buy food for her two-year-old daughter. Through sobs and tears, she told me the terrible things she had done to support her own drug habit. I could hardly bear hearing her sordid story. I had no idea what to say to this woman. At last I asked her if she'd ever thought of going to a church for help. I will never forget the look of pure, naive shock that crossed her face. Church, she cried. Why would I ever go there? I was already feeling terrible about myself. They would just make me feel worse. Well, this is quite a wake-up call for you and me, us good church folk, us good churchgoers. Do broken people really see us that way? Do they feel welcome here to come here to wherever our church meeting is? Or do they think we'll only make them feel worse? Yancey continues and says, what struck me about my friend's story is that women, much like this prostitute, fled towards Jesus in the Gospels, not away from him. But the prostitute's story, attitude in the story, betrays a deep-seated understanding of religion as a system that is fundamentally based on payments and rewards. Good behavior earns good blessing. The concept that there are, in the end, no free lunches. But what I want to say to you is there is another economy at work in the world. And this is the economy of grace. We encounter it in this bizarre prophecy from Isaiah in chapter 55. What is the prophet thinking? Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. What is he on about? Imagine that. Imagine getting something for nothing. This is the economy of grace. And the commodity of grace is love. And love, in turn, is more of an oddity than a commodity, because love, unlike any other resource, does not diminish. You take any other resource, whether it's fossil fuels, whether it's gold reserves, whether it's human resources, there comes a point where you've used it all up and there is nothing more to use. But love's not like that. Love works in a different way. I remember when Michelle was pregnant with our second daughter. I remember her saying, how am I going to manage this? I already love our first daughter so much. Am I going to have any love left for the second daughter? Well, when she was born, we realized what a stupid question that was, because there was just more than enough love. Love begets love. Love doesn't run out at some point. It's an odd sort of commodity. Unlike any other resource, the more you love, the greater your capacity for love becomes. Indeed, God's ways are higher than our ways, and God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. You see, God's love and God's grace are free. There is no price. There is nothing to pay. But that's not to say that they're cheap. And again, we understand this principle from real life. Sometimes the mere fact that something can be bought makes it cheaper than if it were free. Dietrich Bonhoeffer has this to say about grace. He says such grace is costly because it calls us to follow. And it is grace because it calls us to follow Jesus. It is costly because it costs a man his life. And it is grace because it gives a man the only true life. It is costly because it condemns sin, and grace because it justifies the sinner. Above all, it is costly because it cost God the life of his Son. And what has cost God much cannot be cheap for us. Above all, it is grace because God did not reckon his Son too dear a price to pay for our life, but delivered him up for us. Costly grace is the incarnation of God. So we are invited to come and eat, to buy without cost, to buy without paying a penny. We're invited not because we're good enough. We're invited because we are desperately in need. And we're invited because God is desperately in love with us and his world. Amen.
From Psalm 27. Lord, you have said, "Seek my face." Your face, O Lord, do we seek. Let us pray. In the stillness of our minds and hearts, let us hear your voice, O God. Lord, we confess that we live in a sea of distractions. We are surrounded by a storm of worries, all of which attempt to take our focus off you. In this time of prayer, may we hear your still and peaceful voice. May your loving and assuring presence break into our lives and shine on us like the sun. Lord Jesus, we desire to be in your presence. You are the true rock on which we stand. And in this time, we bring before you, Lord, all of our worries, our fears, our uncertainties, our hopes, our joys, and our dreams. In this time, we pray especially for the people of Ukraine. Lord, we grieve the needless and senseless loss of life and indiscriminate destruction. In the horror of war, we do give thanks for the amazing generosity, love, and support of so many people, seen in gifts of money, supplies, and open hospitality for those who are in need. God of all compassion, you hear the cries of all who suffer wherever and whenever. Today, we pray also for those who perpetrate the violence and suffering that we see on the news, including the Russian President Vladimir Putin and those aiding and abetting his course of action. Lord, we pray that those who pursue the path of violence and hatred, that they may be convicted and turned away from their course by your Holy Spirit. And instead of pursuing destruction and hatred and death, may such people in places of power be transformed and work for the healing of the human family and for all of creation. And Lord, we give you our thanks for signs of hope, care, and inventiveness, whether reported or unseen. But for all those things, giving life and hope to those in times of hopelessness, fear, and sheer vulnerability. We pray for and we give thanks for all the families in countries such as Poland and Romania and other countries who are welcoming and helping refugees of this conflict and of other conflicts as well. Lord, in your loving kindness, help us all to realign our lives to fulfill your will for who we are and what we are called to do. Help us to build new relationships with people that transcend boundaries, that transcend countries and languages and culture. We recognize that you're calling us to be one human family together, loving and caring for all. And we bind up these prayers and all of our unspoken prayers in the strong and sure name of Jesus. And we pray them in his name. And as a sign of our faith, we now join our voices in the words of the Lord's Prayer, praying, Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Friends, we now continue in worship, singing our closing hymn together, Amazing Grace. Let us sing together now.
Save our bed, thy
Now receive the blessing. Go forth into the world in peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast to what is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you, now and forevermore. Amen.